Let's talk about what happened after Katrina. What did New Orleans and Louisiana proper look like after Katrina in terms of the environmental problems that that whole region faced before Katrina? What did it look like after Katrina?
Well, as everyone knows, 80% of the city of New Orleans flooded because of the flood walls and levees were built in with inept designs and substandard construction. And so when that breached, 80% of the city of New Orleans was underwater. The storm surge from Hurricane Katrina came through Lake Bourne, and as you know, the Gulf of Mexico, and then just north of the Gulf of Mexico, Lake Bourne, which is one of the water bodies that receives toxic industrial wastewater. By law, their facilities are permitted to dump their stuff in Lake Bourne. So when that storm surge came through, it brought in that sedimenty sludge as well as the water onto land, onto neighborhoods, okay, and onto communities throughout Louisiana. And so as they drained the waters, the concern that we had in Birmingham and my law partner, co-director, who was in Houston and then North Carolina at the time, was we need to go in and independently assess the condition of the soil. Because not only do you have the situation from the sediment coming through the water, you also have toxic chemicals and other kinds of materials that are stored in garages and homes that can have toxic contents. So all of that stuff swirling together and all the gas stations in the neighborhoods could have left a consequence in terms of environmental impact, and we wanted to be able to go in and test. We were able to do that in beginning in October of 2005 after the storm. And what we and the reason why we wanted to be able to do it independently is we didn't want a replay of 9/11, where EPA was saying the air quality was fine after the Twin Towers came down. And we're all looking at TV, and you can see the air smoke filled, right? And now we know how much they lied, right? But we didn't want this. We wanted to be able to have some independent information. What we thought our fight was going to be was that when EPA came in and did their testing, that ours would show high levels and EPA test results would show low levels, and that's where the fight would be. What we didn't expect was that the test results would be comparable. For example, EPA took test samples of about 1,800 samples. We didn't take that many. But they took 1,800 samples, and their results showed that 95% of them have arsenic levels, a known cancer-causing agent, above their guidelines in terms of cancer risk from being exposed to the soil. And so we thought, okay, great. We've got the same results. We need to take we need remediation. We need to clean this up so that we can protect the right to return to healthy and safe neighborhoods. And then that's where we hit our wall. EPA wasn't willing to do any remediation, even though the test results showed that using EPA's own guidelines, and I'm not saying they're the best, there's high exceedances, not just in the New Orleans area, but from Alabama through Texas, all areas affected by the hurricanes. When we hit that wall, we began to do more research, and what we found was that repealing and waiving and relaxing environmental standards was part of the order and how the Bush administration would respond after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. In September 14th, 2005, less than 2 weeks after the hurricane passed, former Attorney General for Ronald Reagan and other members of the Heritage Foundation issued this new manifesto called From Tragedy to Triumph, Principled Solutions for Reconstruction After Katrina. And what this manifesto lays out, if I can just, sure. You can indulge me for just a moment, is not it says that what we will do after the storm is repeal and waive environmental laws. We will suspend the Davis-Bacon Act. We will privatize public schools and hospitals and healthcare systems. And we will create huge tax exempt incentives and tax breaks to developers. All of those things are now here. And part of the piece that you know, once you read this and you realize that this is the so-called recovery plan, it makes you stop saying government failure. It makes you stop saying government neglect. It makes you stop saying recovery is slow. And instead, looking at this as a very purposeful design to privatize our communities and take them away from us. And
that's right. That's right.
And understanding that this policy was put out at a time when we were trying to find each other, trying to find housing, trying to find food, where we're going to be, when can we come back to our city? While we were in that flux, they had this policy already laid out. And so we've got to be more proactive in terms of what this means. And I'm sorry, now I'm moving off, but I'll just say this, I'll get back to the answer. But we've got to be more proactive in about what it takes to be not just survivors, but to be able to live well in our communities and be able to know that these are our communities that we can sustain for future generations.